Thank you, Jesus. We are blessed. We are so blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to the premier Sunday. It's the first Sunday of the year, right? The first is always carries a special meaning for God, like the firstborn blessing, right? The reason why Israel is so blessed is because Jacob, instead of Esau, got the firstborn blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to let you know, beloved of God, you've got to desire the choice first blessings that God has. Amen. And allow the hunger in your heart to be translated to the hunger to desire to know Jesus. Because Jesus is that firstborn blessing. That firstborn blessing is not like a piece of real estate somewhere in the Middle East. That's not the firstborn blessings for believers. The spiritual significance of the firstborn blessings is Jesus Christ Himself, who has become your firstborn blessing. So do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Then you have already that firstborn blessing in your life. Because Christ in you, the Bible says, is the hope of glory. Amen. It is the hope of glory. It is the desire. Amen. That people, even in the old covenant, desire to have this promise, okay, that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. The promise of the Holy Spirit, that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ today can dwell in us. Amen. Jesus Christ dwells in you, and He is that firstborn blessing. And today is the first Sunday of the year, is the premier Sunday. May you have a fresh desire in your heart to desire to know this firstborn blessing that lives in you, who is actually a person. The blessing is a person. Amen. What is a blessing without the blessor, right? A relationship without someone that really cares and loves you, right? If you have all the money in the world, if you have all the precious things in this world, you know, ask King Solomon, the richest man in the world. He found out at the end of his life, being the richest man in the world does not translate to be the most satisfying and the happiest man in the world. He learned that the hard way, because near the end of his life, he began to drift away from God. The Bible says his heart was enticed by the foreign women, the Bible says. Not so much as the women, but the gods that those women worship, that changed his heart from worshiping the one true God, right? The God of Israel, the God of all mankind, to worshiping other gods. The moment King Solomon exchanged gods, right? That's the beginning of his downfall. The moment that we exchange Jesus Christ from being the first place in your life, from becoming your firstborn, in other words, Jesus is your all in all. It's not even your whoever is the most darling person in your life, right? Your most darling spouse, your most darling children or your grandchildren, whoever is the most precious in your life, right? Jesus has to be number one over that whoever is your most darling dear ones, right? And the way that God designed it is not because He's such an insecure person that unless you love me first, you cannot enjoy life. No, it's because you have to understand the way that we were designed, we were wired from the inside to desire nothing but Christ Jesus in our lives. That's the design of our lives, is that we cannot be fulfilled by anyone or anything else other than Christ Himself. King Solomon discovered that. He's got all the wisdom that anyone can ever want. The Bible says he's wiser than some of the wisest men of the East, the Bible says. None of them can be compared with the wisdom of Solomon, right? But the moment that he exchanged God, Jesus no longer is the firstborn. He is the second, the third. There's somebody else in place of Jesus. That was the beginning of his downfall. But thankfully, God is still faithful to King Solomon, right? Even though he was not faithful to the Lord, but God remained faithful, mainly to King David because of the covenant that he made with David, right? And so, beloved of God, I hope the Premier Sunday today will give you a taste of what it means, right, to have the firstborn blessings. You know, one of the rebuke that God gave to the church, in one of the churches in the book of Revelation, he said, You have forgotten your first love. I have this one thing against you. You have forgotten your first love. Right? He did not rebuke the church. You haven't spent enough time reading the Bible. The rebuke that God gave to that church in the book of Revelation is that you have fallen from your first love. In other words, Jesus is no longer your first love. He's no longer your firstborn blessing. Jesus is a means to an end. He is like someone that I go to when I'm in trouble, right? When I'm in need, when I'm in want. Lord, you know, help me, Lord, help me. He's no longer your first priority in life. Another word of first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Your focus is not on all these things. Whatever prayer that you are asking God, Lord, these are all these things that I need and I want. And God says, I want to bless you, right? But that's not your focus. Your focus is not on the things and all those things, but you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Notice, it's not your own righteousness. Seek first His righteousness, and then all these things shall be given unto you. What is a kingdom without a king? Right? Do you know, Jesus is such a humble king. He did not say, seek me. He said, seek first the kingdom. But what is a kingdom without the king? Right? So, beloved God, if you understand the heart of God, when He says, seek first the kingdom, it's not so much as the kingdom itself. It's the King Himself who is supposed to be the first in your life. So, beloved of God, have you fallen from your first love? Have you fallen from your first love? Is there other things or other person or anybody else that has taken number one priority in your life? Have you allowed the lessons from King Solomon to be something that you don't have to learn from the school of hard knocks? Right? If you want to learn, you know, something, God has given us the scripture. The Bible says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the encouragement of the scripture, you and I can have hope. So even the lessons, what happened to Esau, when he looked down on the firstborn blessing, the Bible says Esau was supposed to be blessed because Esau was the firstborn before Jacob. It was Esau who was supposed to be receiving the firstborn blessing. You know why Esau did not receive the firstborn blessing? It was not because of his sin. It was because the Bible says he shows contempt, he despised the firstborn blessing by exchanging that firstborn blessing for a bowl of hot soup. Can you believe that? What is a firstborn blessing? I'm starving here. Just give me the stool, I'll give you the firstborn blessing. Man, the Bible says later on, right, he could not get back that blessing even though he sought it with tears. He found no place for repentance, even though he sought it with tears, because he despised the firstborn blessing. So, beloved of God, Let us resolve here. It's a brand new year, right? So let's resolve to allow Jesus Christ to be your firstborn blessing, and that you never despise the Lord by allowing something or someone else in your life to take the place of Jesus. Amen. The purpose and the reason is to let you know that only Jesus Christ can satisfy you. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy the longing and everything that you need in life. And once you have Jesus Christ as your firstborn, once you have Jesus as your firstborn blessing, all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And what is the matter of the kingdom? The kingdom is not a matter of eating or drinking, the Bible says. But it's a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. That is the blessings that God wants us to enjoy. Firstborn blessings, Premier Sunday, right? Remembering that first love. Do you remember when you first heard about Jesus? Do you remember when you first heard about Jesus in your life? Do you remember the passion that Jesus has? Do you remember that first love with Him? And your heart was burned with like, wow, man, I want that relationship. Beloved of God, Jesus is calling you into a relationship, not a religious thing. Amen? God wants that relationship with you. And it's that love that surpasses all understanding, that the Lord wants to rekindle in your heart by you making Him the first place in your life. Not for His sake, for your sake. Because He knows that you are designed to be filled with Christ and Christ alone in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. And all the time, God is so very, very good. Wow. I feel like this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that you seal the word, that our hearts will be kindled with the fire or the passion of Jesus Himself, that we will be so filled with the love of Jesus in our hearts, that we will not substitute Jesus with any cheap imitation in this world. Lord Jesus, we want you to be first in our lives. Help us, Lord, to always make you first in our lives in 2020. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are blessed. We are highly favored. And we are deeply loved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Without any further delay, I'm going to give you the theme of the year for Life Giving Church International in 2020. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Go ahead. Let's show them the theme of the year. Christ our Shalom. Amen. It has a very deep meaning. Don't just think that, well, it sounds cool. Christ our Shalom. This whole year, right? You don't want to miss the messages that's based on this. Yes. Christ our Shalom. By the way, anybody know what the word Shalom means? Remember the night when Jesus was about to be betrayed, right? That night, He said, "My peace I give unto you." Now, He did not say in English, "My peace," right? They spoke Aramaic. Jesus must have said, "My Shalom I give unto you." And Shalom has a deeper meaning than just peace of mind. It's wholeness. That's a beautiful word. That's why, like I said, I'm so excited about this theme of the year for our church. I'm so looking forward to Jesus our Shalom, or Christ our Shalom theme, because all of us can take more peace in our lives. Don't you agree? All of us can have more Shalom, peace, in the midst of turbulent times, in the midst of a world that seems to be unstable, in the midst of things that's going on, you know, so many stuff going on, don't you need the shalom peace of Christ?
Amen.
Right? Then tune in after this commercial. No. Just tune in to Christ our shalom.
Amen.
Man, I'm just salivating, just thinking about the spiritual nourishment that we will be enjoying here by the grace of God, right? On Christ our shalom. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit did not use Jesus our peace, but it's Christ our shalom. It's to let you know this is something deeper than something that comes and goes. The world also have the concept of peace. When everything is okay, then I can be at peace, right? Unless, you know, everything is fine and then I can have peace. Well, the peace of God is stronger than that. Remember, this was the night Jesus was about to be betrayed. It's the worst night of the disciples' life. There is no more crisis in a person's life than the crisis of faith. They believe that Jesus is supposed to be the king, the Messiah that will be redeeming Israel from the Roman Empire back then. That was their hope. That was their understanding that this is our hope here. We give up our jobs, we give up our fishing career, right? To follow this man, and now this man says that he's gonna die. They had a crisis of faith. They don't know what to believe anymore. That was one of the worst nights, if not the worst nights of their life. But Jesus said, my shalom I give unto you. It's not like the peace that the world gives, I give unto you, that comes and goes, depending on circumstances in life. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm quoting almost word for word from John chapter 14, verse 27. Did you hear that, beloved of God? Before you can let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, you've got to have Christ our shalom.
Amen.
You can't tell me, well, just don't worry about it, you know, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Okay, that sounds good, but it does not last, right? Because before you can let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, Jesus said, receive my shalom. So beloved of God, I want to let you know, this is good news to let you know that Jesus' shalom is yours. I already said, Solomon in all his gold, in all his glory, everybody aspires to be a success. We describe Solomon as the epitome of what success is, right? You got all the money that you want, you got all the people that you want, you got anything that you want, you got all the wisdom that you want. It was the most prosperous time for in the time of Israel. But something that's lacking, Solomon, you did not have the shalom of Christ, right? Beloved of God? Beloved of God, I want to let you know today, you are more blessed today than King Solomon. If anybody is to be envied, you are to be envied. If you have this revelation, Christ our shalom. Because even the richest man in the world, the wisest man in the world, did not have this Christ our shalom revelation. And we are on this side of the cross, beloved God. Right? God chose the weak things of this world to confound the wise. God chose us not because we are the wisest, we're the richest, we're the most, you know, big time in the eyes of the world. God chose the weak things of this world to confound the wise. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid, little flock. For unless you become like a little children, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So, beloved of God, as you have like a beautiful canvas. I started with this beautiful picture. It's to let you know, Our heart can be like a beautiful white canvas, like a little child. Lord, I want you to draw in me the beautiful picture of Christ our Shalom in my life. I want to be like the beautiful canvas. Let God be the artist to draw and give you the real identity of who you are in Christ today. By reminding you, because of what Jesus has done at the cross, this year is the year of Christ our Shalom.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed or are you happy? That's why I'm so looking forward to the premiere Sunday. Because this is amazing. This is not just peace. It's Shalom. Mm-hmm. Christ, mm-hmm. our Shalom. Mm-hmm. Amen. Beloved of God. So remember, that was the verse. John 14:27. My Shalom I give unto you.
Yes.
It's not like the kind of peace that the world gives. Right? My peace I give unto you. One thing for the Greek scholars who wants to study the word give, when Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, that word give is to bequeath. Did you hear that? There's a difference between I give you and I give you as an inheritance. Right? If I say I give you this blessing only if you do good, and then I will give this peace. It's something else when I say, look, this peace I give unto you as an inheritance. What do you have to do to receive an inheritance?
Nothing.
All you've got to do is you've got to be a daughter or a son in the family. That's all you need to be. Right? As long as you are a son of God, you are eligible to receive the Shalom peace of Christ. Did you hear that, beloved of God? In other words, this peace is an unconditional peace that does not depend on your performance. It does not depend on your good works, if you will. It's the peace that you can experience. Even, I don't deserve this peace. I haven't done this, you know. I've been quarreling a lot lately with my spouse. I haven't been exercising as much as I should lately. Right? Oh, I have not been very disciplined in my life. And God is wanting to let you know, my Shalom, I bequeath unto you. It's something that God imputes unto you apart from the law that Christ has given unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you like that?
Yes.
Do you like the peace that you don't have to earn with your performance? The peace when you feel like you're not on top of the world, you can still experience that peace.
Amen.
Do you like that? That is amazing. I wish somebody told me this. The peace of Christ, the Shalom peace of Christ, I don't have to earn it with my performance. I don't have to be good enough to earn it. All I've got to do is just to receive the blessing as a son of God. All I've got to do is to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that reminds you of who you are. Right? Who you are. You are the beloved Son of God in whom God is so well pleased. Because of your works? Nay. But because of faith in Jesus Christ. That's who you are. The beloved Son and the beloved Daughter of God. And God says, my Shalom I give unto you right now. My peace I give unto you. So Christ, our Shalom, is the theme of the year for our church. So you like John 14:27. In the mouth of two witnesses, a testimony is confirmed. I'm going to show you one more verse. So that you know that Christ, our Shalom, is not just it sounds good. It's written in the Bible. Do you like that?
Yes.
Almost like word for word.
Yes.
written in the Bible. Are you ready? Okay, let's show them where we get Christ our Shalom theme. Ephesians 2 verse 13 to 14, King James Version Bible. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. Say, He is our peace.
He is our peace.
One more time.
He is our peace.
So where do we get Christ our Shalom? Right here. He is our peace.
Amen.
Wow. Did you see it? He is our peace. So peace is not like a like your Amazon delivery package. Oh, you need peace? Here's a package for you called peace. No, He is our peace.
Amen.
The giver is the gift. Jesus is your peace. That's why we started off at the appetizer to remind you. You want to guard your peace? Guard your firstborn blessing, who is Jesus Christ Himself. Because Jesus is your peace. Let Jesus be your first love again. Let Jesus be your number one again. Amen. So, He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The Bible says. So, again, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So you were made nigh, nigh near in the modern English. Okay, you were made near, not by our own holiness, not by our own goodness. We were made near here, according to the scripture, is by the blood of Christ. Amen? The blood of Christ is what draws you near to God. Do you see that?
Amen.
Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses you from all sin. That's why we can draw near to Him by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Man, I like the message today.
Amen.
To be reminded that Christ is our Shalom. Amen. So the more Jesus that you know, the more Jesus that you behold, the more you see the beauty of Christ and how much He loves you. It's not so much as the rules and the regulations, right? Have you done this? No. Jesus loves you perfectly. So the more you see Jesus as who He truly is, that He is your peace and He loves you. Amen. He loves you like none other. Man, how can you not have peace? Amen. I mean, this is God who loves you. Amen. And it says that you are drawn near by His own blood. The blood that cleanses you from all sin. Amen. Now I'm going to show you one more verse that gives you a great blessing here to know about why we can have peace with God today. Give them the next verse. This is Acts 13, verse 38 to 39, King James Version Bible. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Amen.
That is the basis of our peace. The Bible says, through this man is preached unto you, it's talking about Jesus, through Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Say, the forgiveness of sins. So when we preach Jesus, what are we supposed to preach about? The forgiveness of sins. Because it says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Man, that is good news.
Amen.
I thought we listened only to the fact that our sins are forgiven the first time when we got born again. Before we became a believer, you know, we hear about the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are forgiven. No, according to the scripture here, it says, through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So my job as a preacher is to preach Jesus, right, that has become your peace on the basis of your sins are forgiven. Wow! Man, hallelujah! Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, keep on reading here. And by him, as if that's not good news enough to give you the foundation for peace. And by him, all that believe are justified from some things. From all things? Do you think that God meant what he meant when he said, you are justified from all things, it says, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. By the way, the law of Moses is the strictest law in the world. There is no other laws that is stricter than the law of Moses, right? Now, using the strictest standards of the law of Moses, through Jesus Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, such that you are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the strictest law standards, the law of Moses. Man, I'm telling you, that is good news. The law of Moses is really, really strict, right? You do something on Sabbath, you pick up twigs on Saturday, you know what the penalty is? 7 lashes minus 1? No, they were stoned to death. That's why. Can you imagine on Saturday, right? You do your lawn mowing on Saturday. You're not supposed to work, right, on Saturday. According to the law of Moses, the penalty most of the time is death. All right? Now God has given us the peace here. The foundation for us to have Christ our shalom is the fact that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
And that you are justified. Another word for justified, declared righteous.
Amen.
From all things, not just some, from all things, the Bible says, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beloved of God. I just want to let you know, beloved of God, it is the blood of Christ that draws us nigh, it says, to God, right? Because how can you draw near to God unless your conscience is clear, that you're no longer afraid that God is still nitpicking on things, right? So that is the strong foundation today that I hope I have laid a strong foundation for all of us to enjoy Christ, our shalom blessings, beloved of God. And that is, the blood of Christ has drawn us nigh to God, the Bible says. And through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. It may sound really basic. Oh, I heard that so many times, that all my sins have been forgiven. There's so many, psychosomatic disease, something, even autoimmune disease, that is caused by people not hearing enough the gospel that their sins have been forgiven. Even though you don't have anybody necessarily telling you, hey, you know, bad, you know, bad girl, bad boy, right? Every day in life, just like the gravity in this world by default will pull you down, right? Whatever goes up, it must come down because of the force of gravity. Ever since Adam partook on that tree of knowledge of good and evil, all of us have this thing called conscience. And conscience is like a little lawyer inside of you that will always know whenever you're not all that you're supposed to be. So I just want to let you know the importance of Christ, our Shalom message is beyond just to give you a feel-good feeling. Right? Wow, it's good, you know, I don't go to hell. Okay, that's good. Alright, that's good. I'm forgiven. That's good. But it's essential for day-to-day life to know. Do you know the significance of the blood? Somebody already died in your place. So the blood is not like this superstitious thing that we apply the blood. You have to understand why the blood is there. The blood in the Old Covenant, somebody has to die. The lamb has to be slain in order for the blood to be taken. So whenever we say we thank God for the blood of Jesus, you're saying, Lord, I don't have to die for this sin anymore because somebody already taken my place. Do you understand? So, beloved of God, that is the basis of our Christ, our Shalom today. It's no longer based on our own goodness. It's no longer based on our performance. Please understand, we want to live a holy life. God says, my desire is for you to live a sanctified life, a life where you do good works for God. But let us not confuse the root and the fruit. Holiness is a fruit of knowing who you are, that you are righteous by the blood, and then you can do good works. But many Christians have it backwards. I do enough good, and then God will give me attaboy. Do you understand? That's the problem in a religious circle that caused Christians to be burned out, because you are never meant to live under law. God created men to live under grace. But the moment Adam decided, no, we're going to live under law. We know what's good, we know what's evil. We decide what's good, what's evil. From the moment that men partake from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, conscience was born. And from that point on, God knows, unless my son dies and shed his blood, there is no hope for humanity. That's why through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. God did not even talk about through this man is preached unto you repentance, repentance, and repentance. Although we want to repent, we want to stop doing what's wrong and do what is right. Of course, right? That's if you're truly born again, you don't want to sin. You want to live a holy life for the glory of the Lord. But notice, the scripture says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. God puts such strong emphasis that before you can enjoy Christ, our Shalom, you must be established in the fact that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and that you are justified from all things that you could not otherwise be justified by the law of Moses. Yes. Do you understand what the Bible is saying? I see that, you know, there's a fresh revelation here. Even though it sounds like a pretty basic knowledge. Oh yeah, Pastor, I know I'm forgiven. I've heard, you know, in a crusade. When? Well, 20 years ago. That someone told me, you know, accept Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Well, that's good, but that was 20 years ago. But God wants you to have a fresh revelation, a fresh blood, if you will, revelation that will give you that fresh peace that you need. Because every day it seems like we have fresh challenges. It's like every day it seems like we have, you know, fresh whatever, you know, something surprising, something came up. Hey, don't rely on food 20 years ago. Don't eat food that is 20 years ago, right? You want to enjoy good bread, hot bread, fresh bread. Yes. That through this man is preached That means there's got to be a preacher, because it's preached. Amen. It's preached unto you, the forgiveness of sins. So my role as a pastor is to preach unto you. Right? Not just sing. You're not guilty anymore. But to preach unto you the forgiveness of sins. And to remind you, you are righteous. From all things that the law of Moses could not declare you righteous. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus, right? Understanding that you are forgiven and that you are declared righteous from all things that you could not be justified by the law of Moses is the basis for you to enjoy Christ our Shalom.
Amen.
Oh. Hey! Yeah. Alright? The stronger your foundation that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins and that you are righteous from all things that the law of Moses could not declare you righteous. To the degree your foundation, right, is strong, to that same degree you will enjoy Christ, our Shalom. Man, the Shalom of God is no joke. Like I said, the Shalom of God will cause you to live long. The Shalom of God will prolong your life. The Shalom of God will give peace and harmony in your family that no psychiatrist, no pills can ever give you. Man, this is no joke. When God says, I give you my peace. Man, when God gives something, His hand is big. You know, if you rely on men to give you, man's hand is very small. But when God is the one who bequeaths you His peace, right? You will no longer settle for anything less that the world has to offer.
Amen.
And the empty promises that the world has to offer.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Yep.
Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are blessed. We are blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I want to let you know that since this message may go worldwide, don't think that you are the only one who is listening to this message. Because when we make this online, we got people, you know, downloading the message. In case there is an audience of mine, online or offline, who have not received Christ into your life, this is your opportunity to believe and receive this Shalom peace. The Bible says through Jesus is preached the forgiveness of sins. I'm preaching unto you the forgiveness of sins. And all you've got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Pray this simple prayer that you believe He took away all your sins and He rose again from the dead on the third day to declare you righteous today. If that's you, you have never prayed this simple prayer. It's a simple prayer, but it's a prayer that will change your life throughout eternity. As you believe in your heart and speak this simple prayer, you will be saved, the Bible says, Romans 10. Pray this simple prayer if you have never received Jesus Christ into your life. And let Christ be born in your life and you experience that born again life. Say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you into my life. You are my Shalom peace from this day forward. I believe you died to take away all my sins. I have the forgiveness of sins. And you rose again on the third day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are my Lord. You are my Savior from this day forward. I give you my life. You are my shalom. From this day forward, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.